Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, for today, Sunday, February 28th. I just want to remind you guys, if you have a question or a comment for tonight's show, you have to call 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. I'm excited about tonight's show, so I'm going to just quickly turn it over to my sister, Denise, and I think she has beauty news. Nope, we can't hear you. Hold on.
Sorry.
Say something again. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. I just have one thing really quickly. The Powder Group announces its American Beauty Tour, which will run throughout the remainder of 2016. The American Beauty Tour is sponsored by Skindinavia and the Make Light and will take place in the following cities: New York, Los Angeles, New Orleans, Atlanta, Dallas, Chicago, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C. The seminar fees for the beauty tour are $65 for Powder Group Pro members, $85 for non-members. For the full-day program, the Powder Group Pro members' fee will be $290. For the non-members, $390. For more information on the tour schedule, you can go to thepowdergroup.com. Again, for more information on the tour schedule, you can go to thepowdergroup.com.
All right. For those of you who are driving, just mute your phones until it's time for you to talk. And I'm not sure. I think we're waiting on one more person. I believe he may be on the line. So welcome to the show, everybody. I was going to introduce you all by name, but what I think I'll have you all do is introduce yourselves and tell our listening audience what inspired you to become a barber. Let's start with Marcus Harvey.
Hello, 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 everyone. Can everyone hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Okay, cool. What's going on? I'm Marcus Harvey, the barber star. I've been a barber professionally since 05. I started in the barber industry when I was 12 years old. I was a little fat kid in the shop sweeping up the hair, cleaning up the shop. So that was a cool little situation. I didn't know that it sparked my interest into being into the hair industry, and I guess I was bit by the bug early. So I did that till I was about 15. Took a little break while I was in high school. I was going to, go pro like everybody. Every little high school kid thought they were going to go pro. So, I kind of, didn't pay too much attention to barbering until I had to move to Tennessee.
Marcus.
Uh-huh.
Go pro in what?
Oh, going pro in barbering, like getting my license. Like, I don't consider you a professional until you have your license or been through some type of schooling, so it's just it just is what it is. You just go to the pros. So,
I was hoping you meant barbering. I didn't know if you meant basketball or something like that.
Oh, no. Well, I could have done both because, I am that talented. They know.
Uh-huh.
Y'all know. Y'all still know boy got the house.
Uh-huh.
Could have been Steph Curry right now. I could have been Steph Curry. I don't know what happened. Like I said, it's just I'm actually a professional cosmetologist. I'm not even a licensed barber. I'm I major in barbering, but I'm a cosmetologist by trade, and you know, just started seeing that I had a knack for male grooming, and just decided to kind of stay there in that lane upon graduation in 05. But while I was in high school, I seen one of my own hair with some, like, you know, Walmart clippers, and it took me like 2.5 hours. But when I say it was the freshest haircut that little spot in Tennessee called Morristown had ever seen, mm-hmm. I felt like I was a man, because I had given somebody who didn't have a look, and to see the reaction of the people when, you know, they saw the look that I gave this guy, which is amazing. And so then when I got into college, my brother was attending Morehouse at the time. And his roommate's name was Storm Briggs. He was also attending Morehouse College, and he was actually the barber, like the campus barber. And he was like one of the campus barbers for like the fraternities, the alphas. And so as a result, man, he just was like, this was like the man to me. It just looked like everybody had to, like, no matter who they were on that campus, had to come to Storm to get fresh. So, you know, it just kind of re-sparked my imagination in barbering. And I put on academic probation at Georgia Perimeter College and decided to go ahead and, you know, not waste time by sitting out. Decided to go to cosmetology school so I can be more well-rounded, because I knew how to cut hair a little bit, but, you know, I wanted to learn the whole scope of it. So, you know, fast forward to where I'm at now, you know, I'm the personal barber for Nas, Grant Hill, Chris Webber. I've cut people such as Klay Thompson, Cedric the Entertainer, Steph Curry, LeBron James. The list goes on and on. You know, I've been blessed to have a lot of great opportunities, and you know, right now, like the Twins, I'm actually the set barber for Survivor's Remorse Season 3. Yeah, Jesse and Luke. You know, we've just been trying to keep the standard high with the Barber Star brand, which is, you know, a brand that just represents barbers and total excellence, from customer service to social media savvy to business etiquette to just professionalism. So that's what Barber Star is. Higher class of barbering.
Arno, do we have Quincy on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, hi Quincy. Can you introduce yourself to our audience?
Yes. My name is Quincy David, better known as Q the Barber. One of the barber stars and I guess what the fellas like to call me is, as a part of this group, is
Are you there, Quincy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I don't know if you've asked me anything, my speaker.
No, I just asked you to introduce yourself.
Okay, yeah. I'm Q the Barber. How you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure.
And Hawk, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah.
Introduce yourself to our audience.
My name is Joshua Hawkins. I go by Hawk the Barber Prodigy.
And where are you from, and how did you get started as a barber?
I am from Cincinnati, Ohio. I got started as a barber. I started cutting hair when I was 12 years old. I was visiting my mother here in Georgia at the age of 16, just for a summer break. I ended up cutting in my first barbershop, and I was making about $700 a week, being 16. So once I went back home, finishing up high school, I was playing basketball at the time, and once I went back home, I was pretty much like, you know, I already know what I want to do, you know, making that type of money at the age of 16. So I went back home, and, you know, I wanted to stop playing basketball, just focus on my grades and just get it out the way, and, you know, come back down to Georgia to go to barber school. And a lot of people, you know, they had a lot to say about it, because they was like, man, you know, you just focus on basketball, you know, you want to cut hair, you know, what type of dream is that? So, you know, I sat down and I prayed about it one night, and I said about a week later, you know, God really showed me that cutting hair was what I was supposed to do. So everything that I prayed about as far as what I want to do with my career, you know, God has showed me up until now. So, you know, that's where I'm at.
All right, nice. Let me go back to Quincy. What inspired you, Quincy, to become a barber? How long have you been barbering?
But I started off really young, you know. I started off with, you know, my mother being a kitchen beautician at like 12, 13, 14 years old. And I actually got my start like doing the back of ladies, you know, doing the bobs for women with the jerry curls and all that. And it sparked, you know, something inside of me to where it was like something creative, it was something different. I used to cut my own hair, but to that point, I actually got really good at it when I received a pair of clippers for my birthday at 11 years old. I just started cutting my own hair, and I got good at it. And I, you know, like Marcus, I started enjoying like the fact that people were like, oh, okay, yeah, your haircut is nice, your haircut is dope, and haircut is fresh, and these are the words that they were actually used at those times. But how I got started was exactly, you know, doing exactly that. So that grew into my high school years and getting good enough to cut other people's hair and becoming like the man as far as the barbering is concerned. And you know, of course, all of those times in the beginning, all those haircuts were like $5, maybe a tip here and there. I would get $7, maybe $8 for a whole haircut, but It was the thrill of being able to make any type of money, you know, at a young age and being able to thrive and actually hold it down for myself. I wasn't asking my mother for, you know, money for sneakers or you know, little things that I wanted. So that's pretty much how I got started.
Gotcha. And what about you, Tariq?
Hey, everybody. Tariq here. No, fortunately, I was blessed to have a mother, be second generation in the hair industry who, you know, has worked with everybody from Beyonce all the way down to, you know, the Michael Jai Whites, who's a personal barber, hairstylist, makeup artist, award-winning barber on every movie and television show. You know, generally over the last 30 years, everything from Pirates of the Caribbean to Dreamgirls and everything. In between. So just, you know, I was blessed with the platform. I was in the industry before I was born, so to speak. So I
right.
You know, got my first pair of clippers at age 12, just like Hawk and Q. It's ironic that I guess that's the age that you give your kids clippers.
Yeah, that's a barber age.
Yeah, that's right. That's a transition age. So, yeah, similar to them, I started cutting my own hair, and I went to a board in high school. And everybody's like, yo, can you cut my hair? And I'm like, I don't know. And from there, it's kind of grown from being the high school barber to the college mobile barber. Started a business at Syracuse University, doing mobile haircuts throughout dorms. Got a cease and desist letter from the university, which was really was a positive thing for me at 19 years old. That a whole university as big as Syracuse, you know, was actually, I was on their radar, so that was huge for me. I ended up managing a barbershop on campus. Syracuse is a Jewish private school, and I ran an urban barbershop on campus, which was, you know, which had never happened before. So that was a really big deal, and that helped me get a lot of publicity being the barber for Syracuse University athletics. You know, started getting to the professors and everybody, literally just, you know, no haircuts moved in Syracuse University without my permission. And then ended up meeting Marcus out in Atlanta when I was home for a holiday and, you know, gravitated towards him immediately, man. Great guy, great spirit, great energy, really unselfish. And I was like, you know, being in Syracuse is cool, but it's too cold up there for me. So I was excited to move back. and that's kind of led me to where I am now, where I
on this radio show with you guys today.
Well, you know, Tariq, let me just say that my sister and I both knew your mother, worked with your mother, and
wow,
I remember. You're right, and I remember meeting you. Of course, you don't know this, but I remember meeting you when you were a little boy. So whatever you do tonight, don't tell your age, because then you'd be telling my age.
Okay.
But
look, we both have a little secret.
Right. And I remember. I remember when you went away to high school. I remember when you went off to college. I remember how proud your mother was. So to see you now and to know who you came from is so very special, because she was a special person and a very, very talented hairstylist.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Oh, I agree 100%. His mother... his mother, I worked with his mother also, and just actually being a popular barber at that particular time, which was about 2000, 2001, and around those times,
uh-huh.
She showed me a lot of love, you know what I'm saying? I turned around and, you know, of course, showed her some things that was very key as far as, like, how I did things and how I went about doing things, and she was already a pretty dope barber as it was.
Right.
But I like to think that I, you know, I added a couple of different, little different tricks with some of the things that she did. But we ended up working on the movie Toi.
Right.
Together, mm-hmm. And we did a couple of ads for pictures, for goodies, hair products. Whereas though we did the styling and the picturing for the actual packaging itself. And it was just really great. I used to work with her as well for a couple of months over on Far Road. So that was a big pleasure of mine.
Well, you know, let me say this, because, and then we can definitely talk about the whole film industry and barbering a little bit later after we get through the introductions. But let me just say this one thing though: there's never been somebody to come behind her to be able to do what she did in the film industry. Because most of the hairstylists nowadays, they don't want to cut anybody's hair on set. She was able to curl hair. She was able to cut hair. It didn't matter if you were black, white, Asian. She was able to do it all. She was a hairstylist, and she made sure you knew she was a barber. She could do it all. And I've seen her cut some top celebrity men. But you have hairstylists on set now who shy away from barbering.
Absolutely.
And yeah. I mean, you could be such a threat if you could do both. If you had the skill to style women's hair and to cut men's hair, you'd be a big threat.
Yes, and that's how you department
yes.
head every project for,
that's right.
for over a decade.
That's right.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, speaking of a great female barber, I left another female barber last, and I want Candace to introduce herself.
Hi. How's everybody?
Hi, Candace.
Thank you. My name is Candace. Got a little bit of a cold still. My name is Candace Meredith, and I'm originally from Chicago, Illinois. I went to school in D.C. at Howard University, and then from there I moved to New York, and it was in 2003 that I went to barber school in Manhattan at the American Barber Institute, and my first inspiration was a brother by the name of Cousin Ray, who used to come up to the record label I used to work at. I used to work in the music business before I started cutting hair. And I just remember getting some sort of premonition or idea when I would see him coming up to the label. I would see, you know, so many executives, you know, chasing him down, running him down, trying to get their hair cut. And I said, you know what, this is a real boss. You know, he's able to, you know, dictate his own schedule. You know, there is no glass ceiling in terms of how much money he can make. You know, he doesn't have to put in for vacation time. He's an entrepreneur. So moving forward, my last gig in the industry, I was working for Outkast Manager. I developed a rapport with his barber. And from there, I, like Hawk, sat down one day in my apartment and prayed, and God basically directed me to go to barber school. And at the time, I wasn't 12, I wasn't 15, nor was I 16, I was 26. And I had, by that point, I had explored about 3 or 4 different careers. And I just went to barber school on a whim. And my old boss's barber was the manager of a really prominent barbershop in Brooklyn called Levels, and it was a part of a chain. So I began to apprentice there while going to barber school. And the rest is history. I've been cutting hair for the last 13 years now.
Nice. Marcus, I want you to explain, and I know you mentioned it briefly when you were introducing yourself, but explain to us the whole entire concept of the Barber Stars.
The concept of the Barber Stars is a collection of barbers that pretty much take their craft to the utmost of seriousness, from education to social media to business etiquette, to professionalism. As you can hear in all of their descriptions, you know, we've kind of touched every type of realm when it comes to the hair industry, from television and movies to top celebrities to educational classes, which we've had on this. At Barner Brothers this weekend. We also do a lot of work in the community. We're just trying to change the whole perception of barbers. Typically, we thought of barbers as just people who are just supposed to charge just one thing and just, you know, cut your hair and put some hair on the ground and just get you in and out the joint. But one thing that we figured out is with a lot of barbers is that barbers create such an atmosphere of excellence. Because depending on the level of barber that you have, depends on the level of confidence you have in the next day. I've seen people who've gotten regular haircuts and it's like, okay, cool. But then I've seen like the reaction when I've seen a lot of my the barber stars, people get out there cheering. When I've seen cats get out of Q, when I've seen cats get out of Tyreek chair, when I've seen cats get out of Hawk's chair, when I've seen cats get out of Candace's chair. Like their countenance changes. It's not just a cutting it off, like their first. So can somebody mute that in the back? Okay. So yeah, it's just more so a collection of barbers that, you know, range from the highest of the high as far as dealing with celebrities to, you know, your everyday brother. You know what I'm saying? Because we believe that the barber affects the client, the family, the community, the city, the state, the country, the world. That's how we believe that movement started within the barbershop.
Nice. So, Candace, I want to ask you a quick question because, like my sister was talking about Roxanne earlier and how she did it all. And like she said, she saw Roxanne cut top celebrity males. What did it take for you to get to the point where men were comfortable with you being a woman cutting their hair?
Just seeing me over time. That's really my honest answer. I still have men, and it's funny to this day, asking me, they'll see me with a pair of clippers in my hand and still ask if I'm a barber. So it's one of those things. I think sometimes just like how people have a hard time equating brains with beauty, I think the same applies to, you know, the barber realm. I believe that a lot of times men are accustomed to seeing women, and when they are, they have a certain perception of what that woman will look like cutting their hair. So I would have to say just over time and then seeing me in different lights. Like, I've cut celebrities and I've been featured on television as well, and I believe those things, based on that type of exposure, helped people who knew me and who would see me say, you know what, now she's credible. Now I trust her. Now I can give her a chance to cut my hair. But it really is one of those things where, and I say this all the time, where, you know, I really have to overprove myself a lot of times, mm-hmm. because, once again, men aren't accustomed, or they've had bad experiences. So I have to work through that bad experience, or I have to work through a new experience, but I'm really of the vein of allowing my work to show for itself. So I'll invite mm-hmm. you to watch me, or, you know, a lot of times I'll just get referrals so I don't have to go through the rigmarole of, you know, I can really cut, or I'm not going
right.
to hit you up, or I'm not going to push your line back. Just some of the
right.
concerns that, you know, they always have, you know, based on the fact that I'm a woman, you know, in a predominantly male.
Are there any female barbers out there now that you really like their work?
There's a young lady that Marcus actually introduced me to recently. Her name is Brandy, and I believe she goes by the Barber Doll, the original Barber Doll.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited by her, because when I first started out, it was such a novelty, especially on the East Coast. There weren't many of us. Like, I only knew of one other female barber, and she was in her mid-60s. So in all of Brooklyn, I was like one of the only female barbers. So to see someone like Brandy and to see her, you know, own and run her own shop and, you know, recruiting other
mm-hmm.
female barbers is amazing to me. You know, I'm saying to myself, wow, like, you know, it wasn't all in vain, because I'm telling you, when I first began, it was like I was the only one, you know, or
mm-hmm.
so it seemed. So, yeah,
right.
I'm definitely inspired by Brandy and her crew.
So what made you want to be a part of the Barber Stars? Like, how do you fit in with all these guys?
Well, I met Marcus when I first moved to Atlanta, and Marcus was one of the first people that actually shared his clients with me in terms of referring his clients. And I just, you know, for one, being in an industry that's very competitive, I was really taken aback. You know, I had never really had someone be so generous. And at the time, you know, Marcus had seen my cuts, but, you know, it was still new in, you know, in our introduction. And I, you know, so when he asked me to become a part of the Barber Stars, you know, I couldn't help but to say yes, because we had already developed a rapport, and I just saw, you know, how generous in nature that he was, and I just wanted to be down with him in some way. You know, like I said, I had never experienced someone who just openly, you know, referred clients and, you know, always big me up and things of that nature. So, you know, at this point in my career, 13 years later, you know, I feel like I had gotten a bit stagnant. So joining, you know, his crew has basically lit my fire again. You know, I'm definitely inspired. And like I said, you know, Marcus is my friend first and foremost. So, you know, whatever he's involved in, you know, I'm just trying to be a part of it. Because he's just such a good guy, like Tim was mentioned earlier. He's just honest and very caring and generous spirit. So who
okay,
would want to be around someone like that?
How much did he pay you?
How much he paid me? Girl, $1 million now.
That check will be bouncing.
As soon as bank hours open tomorrow.
Don't try to cash that.
Look, you guys, I want to know, what does it take to be a great barber? And anybody can answer. What does it take to be a great barber?
Consistency.
Yeah.
Put the words right out my mouth.
Consistency.
We all on the same page in here, baby.
Consistency. And when I think when everybody says consistency, they mean consistency not just in your cuts, but consistency in how you respect the craft of barber. Because at the end of the day, like, barbers are still just servants. I mean, we're just, right now, because of Instagram and a lot of media outlets, you know, it's very easy to look at a barber's page and be amazed. You know, it's a very Instagrammable type of industry, if you will. It's just like,
yeah.
Clothes are very Instagrammable. You know what I'm saying? Like, the barber's haircuts just translate even stronger than some females' hairstyles, you know? So I think with consistency, we're not just necessarily talking about just the cut, the excellence of the cut, but we're more so speaking to, like, the excellence of the customer service, the excellence of having your mindset and your lifestyle controlled to the point to where you can actually feed into your clients and not necessarily just be a drag to your clients. You know what I'm saying? Like, we want the atmosphere when you come to, like, the Mousselier or wherever any of the barber stars may be. We want you to kind of feel like a king. You know, we want you to feel like you just conquered the world. Like, this is like your retreat for, you know, whatever you've already kind of gone through that week. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's a refilling, too. You know what I'm saying? Because I think that we probably burst out of everybody's chair, and I think they can all agree, we burst pretty much a lot of people's careers with just the encouraging words that we said, like, by believing in them, in our clients. Yeah, dog, you can do this, you can do that, man. You can do this. Like, I mean, I know Carl can definitely speak to that with one of our friends, Spud McKenzie. So, you know, you got anything to say about that? Oh.
You said what about Spud?
About how, like, you know, you can kind of, like, motivate people to kind of, like, you know, launch their dreams, you know, by them coming to your chair, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, like, anybody that comes through the chair, you know, you always want to just inspire them on their goals as well, you know, by letting them see your vision and then sharing your vision with, you know, whatever they got going on. And, they, you know, it helps out the next person as well, you know.
How is social media? I'm sorry, go ahead.
So I was just going to ask really quickly, I was going to say, you know, but all of you all are dope, you know, in your own right. You all are barber stars in your own right. How do you all coexist? Like, you know, like I've met Marcus, of course. I've met Hawk. And I'm sure I wonder I get to meet the rest of you. But how do you all coexist? Because everybody's talented. Everybody has their own thing. You all might be in separate shops or whatever, but you all come together as the barber stars. How do you all coexist when you're all so talented? Like, you know, it's hard for...
Carefully.
Yeah.
Carefully.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ladies aware of the Royal Rumble, the wrestling event?
No.
So what we all do once a week, just, you know, just to get all out, all of the talent that we all have built up in one room, and we just fight. We all just fight. I hate to say Marcus gets beat up first every time. We actually, this weekend, we're looking forward to Marcus not getting beat up first. But no, all seriousness, you know, it may seem like a tough thing on the outside or a question on the outside, but on the inside, you know, it's easy to put down the egos and all just coincide. I mean, you're around us, and I guess from looking at it from an Instagram perspective, you would think to deal with guys with egos and ladies with egos, and and all of that. But it's nothing but love when we're all around each other. We're all laughing and joking about on each other, on the world, with everything. It's just, it's really easy to put the ego to the side and stuff. Because like Candace said, Marcus is her friend. The same thing. We all have a kinship towards each other. So there's you know, there's no strain on any relationships or anything in that sense. We just, it's just all love, the same way where you sit down and kick it with your homegirls, and uh-huh. That's kind of the type of relationship that we all have.
That's amazing.
Is that Quincy?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, go ahead.
I see, you know, a lot of what we have in common is actually the glue. You know, we all like to learn, and we all like mm-hmm. to teach this craft. You know, the education that we serve just to each other is enough to keep the glue very strong here. You know, no matter mm-hmm. What differences we may have, you know, as a group in itself. You know, I think that we are bonded by the love for what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, like when I first met Marcus, Marcus used to, in my opinion, he used to hold a pair of clippers like a murder weapon or something, like a knife or something. I don't know. But anyway. Just by way of the conversations and the way that he was ready to learn this craft so early off into his career,
mm-hmm.
it inspired me to want to teach others, kind of like as a mentor. I have mentored Marcus very early off into the game. I was actually dealing with a lot of music stars and whatnot from doing music. I used to work with Hype Williams for 4 years, and that turned a lot of different things. You know, of course, that was before the Instagrams and the Facebooks and all that good stuff.
Uh-huh.
But you know, being influential in that set right there. It kind of moves you into another graft of this industry. Like, this industry is so important to us that we do things for it that we don't really understand that, okay, like, wow, like, I just did something else towards this, you know, as a gift or as another nugget towards this industry, not even realizing it sometimes. And it's really a lifestyle. It's not something that's done on purpose. It's just a lifestyle. It's a way you live. It's a way we feed our families, but it's not like any conventional job that you have, you know. To do what we do, it's almost not even working. Like, we're not even working. It's just something that comes to pass. So, but because of all these things here is the actual glue that works with us to allow us to be able to relate to each other, even we're not getting along, you know, like any group, you know,
right?
We'll all have differences and you know, some little sidebars or whatever have you. But when it's time to come together and do our thing, and we're just, because we're just that serious about it.
Nice. Right. Now, for some of you, you know, I heard you all say like, you've worked with Hype Williams. I heard Candace say she was in the music business. I know Hawk and Marcus work on the television show with us. For those of you who've worked in film and television or in music business or with sports, you know, figures, how is working outside of the shop different? Or is your approach different to cutting hair when you're outside of the shop versus working in the shop?
Also, well, I wanted you to make sure that you mentioned that Tyreek just was the lead barber for Barbershop 3, the movie that's about to come out in April. So
you know, he also is, you know, holding it down in his own right too. So, you know, just trying to get him out there like that. But I think that the approach that most of us take is that we know that our work is going to be eternalized. You know what I'm saying? So we put a lot more emphasis on our finish than most barbers would do, even in the regular barber shop. You know, we don't cut any corners in the shop, and we don't do anything more than what we do in the shop than what we do on set. But we do know that there's a lot more at stake, because, you know, at one point, like, you know, even with, you know, when I first started on the show, learning about continuity, making sure that everything, you know, is the same and consistent, you know, making sure that, you know, you're doing a cut within your coverage, and making sure that you can do it within a fast enough time to where you don't knock off production, you know, from even traveling to, like, you know, doing hotel cuts, and the lighting is terrible because, you know, all hotels are just there to kind of make sure that you relax and not necessarily meant for you to get a fresh haircut. So it's just, yeah, we know that our haircuts,
not the best task lighting.
yeah, definitely not. So, you know, we just know that there's a lot more at stake, and even with us being a part of a group, just having all of our people who, you know, kind of follow us within social media and just within following our progress in our careers, you know, like, we have a lot at stake. You know, we don't get critiqued, you know, we get critiqued a lot differently than most other barbers who can just cut within the comfort of their own shop. You know what I'm saying? Like, their haircuts aren't, like, being compared to, you know, someone who may feel like, you know, they're inadequate just because their blends doesn't look that way. It's like, no, you're making an impact just in your own way. You know, we're just making it look a little fresher. So,
right.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, we do. You know, just to follow up on that, you know, we do pay a lot of attention to finishing.
Uh-huh.
I think that might be the majority of the of the actual haircut, as far as that's concerned. Is like, you know, just to make sure that we're coming with a really nice polished look on everyone. It doesn't matter who you are.
Right.
And I guess that's, if you don't mind me jumping on the tail end of that question, the difference, like you said, the different approach, as I learned in my experiences, you know, the approach that you take in a barbershop is polar opposites to the approach that you take on film sets. I kind of had to learn that the hard way on Barbershop 3, coming in a barbershop and, you know, the amount of detail that goes into the work in the shop. You know, you don't have time for that on set. You just don't time to end up holding a production if you, you know, try to do it that way. So the blending techniques have to be different. You know, you have to make sure there's no lines of demarcation and that the cuts read well on camera. And that approach obviously comes way different than the barbershop. You know, overly sharp lines is something that we're kind of integrating into the system a little more. I know with Marcus's show, Survivors and Morse, and this approach that, you know, he coached me up heading in the barbershop, like, you know, obviously keep, you know, do everything that they want you to do in the time that they want you to do it, but kill those cuts. They say on films, you know, no hard lines, no sharp lines and all this and that. You know, we're in real life, people have sharp haircuts. So we're trying to break the mold out of that. And I don't even think it's a thing of, people had issues with it. I just think it was, you know, it was just something that was hard to do for most in the amount of time that they give you and to put out the quality and the finish of work. You know, that's not easy at all. I won't sit here and tell you it's easy for me. I don't know how easy it is for anyone else on this panel, but that's the biggest difference that I've learned in between barbershop cutting and film grooming.
Well, I definitely agree with that, man. I think on the set it's more like makeup, you know. It's more like the facade than the actual haircut, you know. You're creating an effect like every other aspect of a movie or a TV set. You're creating an effect.
Right.
To where as though, you know, you're having something very much look like a very polished work of art as far as haircut is concerned, but, you know, we have a lot of, you know, things like we can go to now to make it look like you have a whole complete haircut, most of it and a lot of it is more makeup than anything.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. Has social media, I'm sure it has helped you guys in some way, but has social media at all hurt you all, or hurt your brand at all in any way?
Not at all for me.
No. Not at all.
No. No.
Okay. What about you, Candace?
Everybody.
No, it hasn't.
Okay.
I think everybody had the meanest grunt ever in the world.
No.
Everybody knows. Because social media is the best thing that I think ever happened to barbering. Like there was the masters, there was the shears that were created back in 1217 A.D. I don't know if that's the real date, but it makes it sound like nobody can try to prove me wrong. So we're going to go with that date. Then we were followed up with that Andy's Masters. We got some T-liners. And then we got these bevels coming out right now that's going to change the game. But that Instagram and that Facebook, that MySpace, shout out to MySpace. It's so hard to say
yes.
goodbye. So.
Yes.
I love MySpace.
Yes.
He was way better than Facebook MySpace. It just allowed it just cut out the second guessing. It used to be a day where, you know, a guy would go into a shop and have to sit in the shop for 2 hours before he got his hair cut because he didn't know who to get his hair cut by.
Mm-hmm.
Now a guy can be in the comfort of his own home and just, like, look up a hashtag like Atlanta Barbers or Barber Stars or, you know, Hawk the Barber or Candace Meredith, you know, Candace Cuts or, you know, Q the Barber or, you know, Tyreek Navarre and actually find, like, amazing haircuts. He can go to sites like Barbershop Connect. You know, he can go to Barber Inc. TV, and he can just go to, like, Barbers Since 98 and actually see several different haircuts that, you know, maybe he wants to change his look up. And didn't think that he had the courage to, but now he sees, you know, that this might be a trend. So it's, I think that Instagram, social media has been, like, the best thing that's happened to barbering in the last 20, 30 years.
Man,
it's
I
like
agree,
an online portfolio.
Yeah, it is.
Resume.
Man, they'll come in the door. You've never seen them ever in your life before, but they're so confident in what they're about to look like or, you know, what they have a chance at, you know, getting as far as, you know, a service or a haircut or whatever. And it's almost like, do I know you? Oh, okay, yeah, okay, we just met on, okay, yeah, you found me on Instagram or something like that. You know, it's really weird because that, you know, from having a career so much further back than Instagram,
yeah.
I definitely see that. I definitely
mm-hmm.
see that. And, you know, being so old school. Go ahead.
Can I add one thing? Actually, Hawk has a great story about this. We just got done doing a Barber Star Weekend, and we were at this restaurant called Stats. And tell about that story about the guy on the Segway, bro.
Yeah, so we was just finishing up the class, and we had just got done parking, and me and the model that I actually cut for the class were walking into the restaurant, and one of the guys that ride around on the security pad or whatever it's called, he kind of, like, went past and kind of, like, stuttered while he was on it. And, you know, he did a little U-turn and came back around. He was like, man, you know, who cut your hair? And my model was like, this guy right here, Hawk. And he was like, oh, man, I mean, that's an amazing haircut, man. You know, I might need to start coming to you. So I was just telling him a little bit about myself. And sure enough, he knew Marcus, and he knew about everything that we was already doing just through social media.
Wow.
So, like I said, yeah, it's amazing just by that social media, you know, how many people you could touch on social media like that. Yeah, it's amazing.
Right.
Well, as we're winding down, I want to start now before so that we don't run out of time. I want each of you to tell me a little bit about your style of cutting, and then shout out, I want you to just give all your social media handles and your websites and all that kind of stuff. So we'll start with, let's start with Candace.
My Instagram is i.m.cmarie, C-M-A-R-I-E. And I would have to say my style of cutting is very clean and precise. I'm not so much into doing designs and things of that nature, but basically just doing really clean and precise cuts. I feel like my strength are tapers and fades.
Okay, what about you, Hawk?
My style of cutting, I would say, is most definitely like a very creative style. Very sharp, you know, precise with every last cut. My IG is Hawk the Barber Prodigy. Facebook is Hawk the Barber, and that's pretty much it.
Okay.
Dope.
And Quincy.
My Instagram is Q the B A R B R barber spell with no E. You spell it right, you're spelling it wrong. I think that my style for the most part is a fusion between actual true barbering and a lot of styling, natural hairstyling, figuring out different ways that we can work with texture of hair, changing the texture visually, is a lot of my thing. I worked with a lot of hairstylists that have over the years has just taught me a few good things as far as how to move and how to work with the texture of hair, more so than just having someone come in, get a haircut, and just leave. I like to work with different aspects of it all, but definitely fading, shading, sharp, you know, intentional hair, you know, lines or whatever have you. And just being able to get someone out and let them know that there's more than one way that you can wear your haircut. You know, the same haircut could look like two, sometimes three different styles, depending on how you choose to wear it for that day. And these are a lot of my strengths. And you can find me at Quincy the Barber Harmon on Facebook and Q the Barber on IG. That's how you find
me. Say that Facebook page again, Quincy the Barber.
Q the Barber Harmon.
Oh, Q the Barber Harmon. Okay.
Mm-hmm. On Facebook.
And Barber is spelled with an R this time.
You
yeah. are.
Yes. Yes.
Say it wrong.
Yeah, you can spell it right, and you'll be right.
Right. And Tariq, I know your call dropped, but I don't know if you heard me before it dropped. I was asking for you to describe your style of cutting and then shout out like all of your social media sites.
So many styles. I feel like one of the biggest thing about my style is the versatility in it, and kind of helps what makes me who I am as a barber. Starting up in New York, having the clientele to where it was so much different. You know, my general day in the shop would go from, you know, comb over to wave cut to military cut to edges, everything, and having to get accustomed to literally every single style of hair. Makes me feel comfortable literally in any realm, you know, between razor, scissors, clipper, comb, and any grade of hair. So I'll say versatility is my biggest asset, and I guess my style, if you may. My social media, the Tariq, T-A-R-I-Q, Navar, N-E-V-A-R. And you can find me on every social media site just by searching the hashtag The Groomsmith on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. Searching the hashtag The Groomsmith will lead you right to me.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And Marcus.
What up, what up, what's up? Okay. I would say that my style is, I guess I create trends, if you will, and it's my style is, I like to let my catchphrase be, clean never goes out of style. So most of my cuts are very pristine, precise, clean. My fades are very soft with no end or beginning. I tend to kind of go with a more elongated fade than more of a condensed fade. My lines are very sharp, you know, with a slight angle. And I kind of just like to play with different types of, like, blends between the textures from ball to all the way to the curly. And you guys can follow me, find me on Instagram at TheMarcusHarvey. Twitter is also the same thing, TheMarcusHarvey. You can go to my website, TheMarcusHarvey.com, or you can go to my other website, TheBarberStar.com. We also have some things coming out pretty soon. You can catch us for getting the fiber applicators at TheBarberStar.com. And we are actually about to launch King of Parts, the new label that we're spawning out of BarberStar. So, you know, just be looking out for everything that we're all doing, you know, from Barbershop 3 with Tyreek, with, you know, Hawk continuing to be the best barber in America, which he just won in Miami, to, you know, Q designing and doing amazing sculpted, you know, haircuts and styles, to Candace, you know, styling, you know, men's hair and even their attire. And she has a blog coming out pretty soon. So just follow the whole movement, man. And we'll be opening it up soon to where, you know, other people get involved and share their talents and their influence, you know, in their community to the rest of the world. So, yeah, Moose Layer, Barber Star.
Moose Layer.
Well, Candace, definitely keep us posted on your blog. And Hawk didn't even tell us about this award. Can you tell us briefly about it?
He's the most decorated barber in the galaxy right now.
Yeah, last October for the Blurry Phase Expo, I did win, got crowned the best barber in America. That I did.
Wow. Wow.
I lost my voice yelling for him that whole time. I literally lost my voice about 3 weeks. I didn't even know you could lose your voice.
Most definitely, yeah. He had the crowd going wild for me.
And people were competing from all over the country?
All over the country.
But as soon as they saw Hawk step into that building, they got all tight. That throat got tight, boy. They're like, oh, you're in the competition, Hawk?
Yeah,
oh,
it was a lot of, you know, man, I didn't know you was competing, man. Somebody should have said something, you know.
Somebody should have said something. Give me the crown, bro. I just wanted to make sure that, guys, we wanted to thank you guys for bringing us on to your show. You know,
thank you.
We love working with y'all on set. You know, we love what you guys got going on for the industry, and we appreciate that. You know, you just open your show up to us. You know, this Wu Tang style of barbering. I don't know what people are saying of barbering.
It's funny you mentioned them. You actually work with them.
Yeah.
Nope. Went around the world with them too.
Yeah, wow. We've cut everybody. And we will continue.
Well, y'all know this is not the last time you'll be on the show.
It better not be my thing.
And what we would like to do at some point is to get each of you on individually at some point, so you can, you know, kind of tell your story.
Yeah.
That would be
good. So how about this? This is what Tyreek is going to do. Tyreek is going to make sure that you ladies and everybody listening downloads the Tyreek Navarre app from Android or Apple app stores. And when we do come back, I'm going to check the progress and see if you've been keeping up on everything. How about that?
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Well, we need to make sure that we have more progress to make sure that we have to talk about.
All right.
Yeah, gotta make sure we build even more stuff to talk about. How about that? So that definitely let us know that we can't stop here.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I really love what you guys are doing. to me, it's very inspiring. It's wonderful what you're doing, and it's wonderful that you guys have your own separate careers, but then can come together as one unit and inspire other barbers all around the world. So keep doing what you're doing, sure.
I'm so inspired by how you all support one another. Like, to me, this is just so unheard of. Like, especially to make a business, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of backbiting in our industry, period. And that's the paradigm that I guess, you know, naturally that we're changing. It's not like it's done on purpose, but you know, there's a lot of you walk into a barber shop and tell a barber you're a barber, and you know, he ain't feeling you from that point on, or you know, and, you know, but that has changed. A lot of that has changed, and we're just glad to be sitting in a place to where as though we can actually form an actual clique for people to visualize it and see that it can actually happen.
Right. Absolutely. It's a great thing. Yep.
Yeah, we definitely feel
that. Well,
you
guys, keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. And, Tariq, I will download that app. I'll be looking out for Candace. I'll be looking out for Candace's blog.
Cool.
I'll see Marcus probably tomorrow. If he's not gone,
I'm going out to follow everybody on Instagram right now.
Yep. And Hawk, we'll see you soon. And I'm looking forward to meeting Tariq. And I'm not sure if I met Quincy. I think I may have met you at Marcus's shop once before. I'm not sure, but I'm interested. I'm looking forward to meeting all you guys, the ones that I haven't met.
Yeah, I definitely remember you coming through.
I want to take the time.
We didn't have a chance to chop it up or anything like that. But I'll definitely be looking out for you the next time you come through. Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, again, thank you guys very much. We appreciate you taking out the time tonight to join us.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. So you guys have a wonderful night and a great week.
Thank you. Please hang up on us. You gotta hang up on us.
That's Quincy still yelling. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you guys for joining and tuning in tonight. That was the Barber Stars that we were talking to. Tariq Hawks, which is also known as Joshua, Marcus, Quincy, and Candace. Okay. Again, thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week, same time. I see Sharon Tina out there. Thanks for joining us tonight. You guys got to excuse my cold, please. But this is crazy. Thanks, you guys, for joining us. Have a wonderful night and a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.